Are you a gig worker or self-employed? Womply has helped over 100,000 small businesses get a PPP loan. You may qualify for up to $41,000 in 100% forgivable loans. The program ends soon and funds are limited. Apply now at womply.com/apply. That's womply.com/apply.
I'm Frank Moreno. I have so enjoyed my conversations with Bill Burns. He is an incredibly talented writer who has focused so much of his research and his reporting on areas that are ignored by the mainstream press. And I want to talk to him about a new book or a re-release of an old book called The Squad, which is pretty fascinating. The Squad, the U.S. government's secret alliance with organized crime. The author is Michael Milan. What's your relationship to this book exactly?
Years ago, we're talking 40 years ago, we moved out to this place out on the very edge of Shelter Island off Long Island. It's the last spit of land before you get to the ocean. And on there was a homicide cop from off of the Nassau County Police. He was a homicide detective. And he says, "You won't believe who lives near here, who you've got to talk to." And he introduces us to this person who was originally just talking about the fight game. He was a fight promoter. And so he was telling us about the Sonny Liston Muhammad Ali fights, the championship fights.
Which a lot of people believe was fixed.
Right. Well, that's exactly what he said. He said that he'd been managing fighters, and he'd been trying to get Sonny Liston, because Sonny Liston, after those two fights, was barred from fighting in New York State. They called him a corrupt fighter. So Liston couldn't get a boxing license in New York State. So what Mike Milan, as a fight promoter, did was he had Liston stay at his house. He lobbied a New York State Boxing Commission, complaining that Sonny Liston should get a chance to fight in New York State. And that's how I met him. He was telling me that story about those two fights. And finally, one night, he was sitting at his house, and this is on Long Island. And he says to me, go behind the jukebox and reach behind there and tell me what you find. He's an old guy, right? So you're humoring an old guy. So you go back there, and there's a 38, an actual revolver, not even an automatic, but a 38 snub-nosed revolver taped to the back of the jukebox. And I'm saying, what the hell is a 38 from the year one doing behind it? And so that's when he begins unfolding the story and says, "I had to really trust you first." And he tells the story. I said, "Well, that should be a book." And that's how he told the story of The Squad, how he, back when he was a younger man, right after he got out of the Navy in World War II, he was working for the mob. He was on the Lower East Side of Manhattan. And he was working for Meyer Lansky and Charlie Luciano. And he was recruited to be one of the people in this squad. And he told me that story. It was a fascinating story.
The book, The Squad, is the words of this gentleman, Michael Milan, but it was told to you.
Right.
I see. And what year was it first published?
I think it was 1989, I believe.
And so why re-release it now?
Well, the funny thing is, there's all this talk of the squad in Congress, and they're stomping around. We're we'll do this, and I was thinking about it and saying to myself, there really was a squad all the way back in the 1940s and the 1950s, and there actually was this group. And I actually, here's the funny part about it, Frank. At first, I thought, "Oh God, you're kidding me, right?" I mean, you're telling me that the head of the FBI ran his own group of off-the-books contract assassins, to enforce his will. I said, come on. I mean, you asked me to swallow a lot. Then I met another former member of this squad who'd served not only in the Army, like this guy served in the Navy, but he was a former officer for the Washington, D.C. Metropolitan Police. And he told me, he's a big guy. And he said, "Oh, yeah." Hey, he said, there was a squad. We were on the squad. He told me other people who were on the squad, where they got these guys from. And then he said, besides, he said, we were actually in court. I said, you mean there's a court document that refers to you as like a secret government agent, goes into a file cabinet in his basement, pulls out this file of this file, says, here, read it. And there it is. It was a New York State court, I think it was a municipal court out in Nassau County, I think, where Mike had been picked up for carrying a gun. And he's in court, and the judge says to the court, this man is a confidential government agent. There'll be no more conversation about this. I'm going to return this case into my chambers. We'll talk about it there. And the record ends. And I'm looking at the court record, and there it is, in black and white. So obviously that was some form of proof, and the other person was a form of proof. So that was the story. And so he told me the entire story, and I just put it down in writing about his adventures in the squad from the time he was a kid on the Lower East Side, because I found that fascinating how he started into finally at the end when J. Edgar Hoover, at the end of his life, was wanting the Berrigan brothers killed, and he has to say to Hoover, look, they didn't commit a crime, boss. They just, I know you don't like them, but they didn't do anything wrong.
So just so folks understand, what Mike Milan, and he says in the book that that's not his real name, but that's what
a lot of people
talk about.
No, it's not his real name.
But what Mike Milan told you is that the squad was this essentially gang of assassins that would go out and kill people at J. Edgar Hoover's behest.
Exactly. And what Hoover did was Hoover, he said, friends with the mob. He was, J. Edgar Hoover worked with Frank Costello, for example. They had this racetrack down in Florida. And he said that Hoover used them to keep the peace. That the real fear, he said, was of violent crime. The real fear was of rampant violent crime. The real fear was of foreign influence. At first, the fear was of influence of Nazi spies and Mussolini spies on the New York waterfront at the outset of World War II. Then, of course, next, after the war, were all the communists. I mean, what he said was that Hoover was so afraid that we were letting in communist agents that he began spying on our own government. And that's what Mike was involved with, spying on our own government. And that's where he said that it was getting creepy. And, of course, this then in the early 1950s, Hoover was worried about the Ku Klux Klan in the South, worried about burnings in places like Atlanta, Georgia, Alabama. And he wanted Mike to infiltrate a local group to find out who was involved, what they were doing. Mike wasn't the only person. I mean, don't get me wrong. He wasn't like the James Bond of this group. Hoover had other people in this group that he was sending out on other assignments.
And just so folks understand, how big, as far as we know, based on what this gentleman told you, how big was this assassination squad?
Supposedly between 10 and 15 people, depending upon those with whom Hoover could contract. I mean, so it was there was a core group, and there was kind of an outer group of people that were involved in this.
And the reason that Hoover would go this route rather than conventional criminal prosecutions was just because it was quicker, or why would he choose to assassinate someone, for instance?
Well, there were a number of reasons. First of all, sure, it was quicker. But Hoover was an institutionalist guy, so, I mean, he would have much rather prosecute the person in court. For the most part, these were situations where the courts couldn't touch someone because the public disclosure of what that person was doing would have been something the government couldn't put up with. So that was one. This was private. Two, this was also sensitive. Two, Hoover was a vindictive person. And there were also people who were high up in the government who were doing things that Hoover couldn't reach. And Hoover had to effectuate his will privately. And that was how this came into being. Originally, This was formed out of the group in World War II. And this is in a book, by the way. Folks can read it besides the squad. Folks can read this book called Operation Underworld. It was written by the head of the New York State Investigation Commission, William Herlands. In this book, Herlands talks about the same thing that Mike Milan was involved with. It was an operation on the New York waterfront during World War II to root out the Nazi spies that were tipping off U-boats when there was a convoy sailing out of New York Harbor. And that was one of the first exploits of this group that were infiltrated on the New York waterfront.
So what was the time frame, as far as we know, that the squad was in existence?
From probably 1946-47 all the way to 1972.
Is there any, aside from that court document that you referenced and that New York State document that you mentioned, is there any independent evidence confirming the things that Mike Milan told you?
Well, just the events themselves. I mean, for example, this fascinated me. Sometimes when I'm doing something, when I'm writing, and I come across a story, and like you, I need to find independent corroboration of the story, like something person A says, and then person B says, who doesn't know person A from Adam, and says the exact same thing about being in the same place at the same time and talking to the same people. That's what happened with this person, Mike Milan, in 1989. And then Phil Corso in 1996. Because they both talked about the Kennedy assassination in the same exact way. And that was actually confirmed to me years later by public records. For example, Mike said to me that after Hoover sent him down to Dallas, there was a cab driver who supposedly was driving one of the people involved in the shooting away from the crime scene. And Mike had to put this person away. Well, he flies back to Washington, D.C., and there in the D.C. National Airport, later called the Ronald Reagan Airport, D.C. National Airport, Hoover tells him, LBJ, we walk away, that LBJ was somehow responsible for this. Years later, I'm talking to Phil Corso. And so Corso says, well, you know, after the Kennedy assassination, this was in 63, I was working for the Senate. And so what I did was I immediately went to one of the hotels in Washington. Actually, I went down to the Watergate Hotel where there was this person staying who was the Speaker of the House, and I realized there was no guard around him. And I called my friends in Army Counterintelligence and said, hey, there's nobody there guarding this guy. And so they sent a group, the Army, Frank, sent a group to guard the Speaker of the House in this hotel in Washington after the Kennedy assassination. And so I said, so I'm saying so. And he said, but then he said, I realized I was on the phone when the Warren Commission was holding its hearings. And because Corso was working for Senator Richard Russell in the Senate, he was one of LBJ's friends, and Russell calls LBJ for the Warren Commission and says, LBJ, Mr. President, both myself and Congressman Gerald Ford don't believe in the magic bullet theory. One bullet couldn't have done that to both John F. Kennedy and Governor Connally. And Johnson over the phone says to Richard Russell, I believe you're right. But if not for the single bullet theory, that means there have to be two assassins. Two assassins mean that somebody else is involved. Mm. That's a war for somebody who's not coming back. In other words, Johnson admits that it's a conspiracy, that he's in on it. And he just convinces Richard Russell to get Jerry Ford to go along, and it's LBJ who's involved.
Different
sources say the same thing.
We're talking with Bill Burns. He has republished the book, The Squad, the U.S. Government's Secret Alliance with Organized Crime, written with Mike Milan. You can get it on Amazon or wherever books are available. When did Michael Milan pass away?
About 4 or 5 years ago, he had heart attacks, and finally he was in his 90s, and his heart finally gave out, and he died.
Why do you think he wanted to tell you his story?
Well, the funny part about it was that for him, it was, here was this guy who grew up with all the mob guys on the Lower East Side in the 1920s, right? I mean, you think of that neighborhood, right? With Luciano, with Meyer Lansky, with Red Levine, with, I mean, it was a really tough neighborhood. That was what they formed Murder Incorporated. And he grew up with that group, knew them all, and actually had all these stories about the mob to tell, and they were funny stories. But what he found so interesting was that now it was in the late 80s, and we were about to go to war in Iraq with Saddam Hussein, and he was saying, I'll tell you, he said, if the squad were still in business, there wouldn't have been a war with Saddam Hussein, and here's why, and he told me what they would have done. So he was really interested in telling this whole story about a whole group of people with whom he worked that nobody would ever know about.
Well, it's a fascinating, fascinating story and incredible, incredible book. And it's amazing to think that not long ago, the head of the FBI would employ this group of mob alumni, among others, to go out and commit extrajudicial assassinations. It's absolutely wild. Bill, thanks as always for coming on. Thanks for republishing this book. I think there's going to be a lot of interest in it.
Thank you, sir. You can all get this book on Amazon right now. Thank you.
The book is The Squad. You can search Michael Milan or Mike Milan, M-I-L-A-N, or William Burns, B-I-R-N-E-S.